Amice, ad quid venisti? Friend, why have you come? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On your way to Holy Mass this evening, if you traveled by car, you undoubtedly crossed many people hurriedly set about their business. This woman off to a doctor's appointment, that man returning from the office, another yet for groceries. Some of our intentions, however, go beyond mere tasks and run deeper still. You might see a young man foregoing sweets, adhering to a strict schedule, disciplining his body, but doing all these things for the beginning of the baseball season. Perhaps you passed a man this morning rushing off to a business meeting with a heart lost to vice, his car speeding towards his workplace, but his heart instead hurling towards greed. A sinful intention is like a shadow, setting a pall upon all its works. Perhaps, on the contrary, you had the unknown fortune during this day to cross a priest carrying Holy Viaticum to the moribund, the sick and the dying. Or perhaps simply a fellow Christian on her way to adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Pause with me then for a moment to consider the many millions of motives that move the minds and capture the hearts of the citizens every day in our great city. Just as Blessed Columba Marmion imagined London in his book, Christ, the Ideal of the Monk, so we too now imagine Detroit. Like him, we might find in fear that few indeed are they who have come for the one and only truly necessary cause in all our lives. Few are they who truly seek God. It is a question repeated famously in a sermon of St. Bernard, himself a son of our saint. It is a question that animates the rule of the Holy Patriarch whom we celebrate on this sacred day. So important is it a question that the rule crafted by the Holy Patriarch, the Patriarch of Western Monasticism, that rule that responds to this question continues to influence all areas of the life of the Holy Roman Catholic Church to this day. That Holy Patriarch is, of course, our dear patron, Saint Benedict. The question he asks each of us this evening is, friend, why have you come? Why am I here? Even for us Catholics, this question is often less straightforward than it should be. In chapter 58 of his rule, Saint Benedict says, someone now newly coming to this way of life, let not an easy entrance be accorded him. Let such a senior monk be appointed for them as is skilled at gaining souls. And the concern must be this: if he, the newly arrived, really and truly seeks God, whether he is solicitous for the work of God, that is the divine office, whether he is solicitous for obedience and for indignities. In this crucial chapter, Saint Benedict is crafting the law for how a new monk is to be received, how his spirit is to be tested. The heart of the question, and arguably the heart of the rule, is thus: the aspirant, does he truly seek God? As Blessed Dom Marmion says, a monk does not come to the monastery to practice trades, to grow in knowledge. Even if our image of medieval monks may conjure rightly an image of towering fortresses of learning and trade, the innumerable sons of Saint Benedict remade the world shattered by the fall of Rome, not by being men of learning first, nor by primarily being men of immense technical and engineering skill, although they would indeed become these things and more. No, the life that gave rise to Monte Cassino and Cluny, to Mont-Saint-Michel and the Grande Chartreuse, the life that rebuilt Europe into a home for the Christian faith, purified and guided by Holy Mother Church, that life began and lives still by the pure intention of a Son of God, to seek the face of God always and alone. The great holy Benedictine abbot Louis de Blois said that whatever we seek besides God may occupy our mind and spirit for a time, but it will never satisfy it. How true in our age of perpetual distraction, when we at last abandon our screens late in the night, finally turning in on ourselves, how numb do we feel in that moment, robbed of true peace, as an unsettling silence sets in upon our hearts, the silence of the nothingness of this world. If we would seek true rest, true strength, and true joy, then we, like the holy rule implies, must seek God in all things. How can we know if we seek God truly in all things? The passage of the rule quoted above may guide us. Though written for monks, its spirit may guide our intention as well. The concern must be this: if he is actually seeking God, whether he is solicitous for the work of God, solicitous for obedience, for indignities. The monk, and so must we, must be solicitous for the work of God. Few among the church militant, few among us this evening will be obliged, as we clerics and religious are, to pray the divine office. But our solicitude for the work of God is reflected in the sincerity of a life of prayer. This sincere life of prayer should be supported and strengthened by devotions, but its heart is not always the same as those very devotions. To seek God truly in the work of God is to aim always at the essence of prayer, the lifting of our hearts and minds to God at every moment, to express to him the acts of those high virtues of faith, of hope, and above all of charity. Our devotional life must always tend to that loving conversation. Put simply, we must be careful to pray not merely with our lips, but firstly and always with our hearts. By true prayer, we confess that God is our first beginning and our last end, that our life of prayer, therefore, is the source of all of our strength. To God belongs the absolute primacy in our lives, a primacy that we confess by beginning, continuing, and ending all of our actions in prayer. Put him first. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts through the prophet Malachi. The monk must also be solicitous for obedience. Few again are we this evening who will be bound by a vow of obedience. But to seek God truly in obedience is to be rigorously faithful to the duties of our state in life. To know that God is to be found in the duties of our home life, as a mother and wife, a father and husband, as a son, a daughter, a worker, a manager, a soldier, an officer, and everywhere else, in every walk of life. God speaks to us through legitimate authority, by the demands of the common good. The common good not only of our nation, our association, our work, our home. To seek God truly, then, is to adore his holy will in the accomplishment of the common good over and above our own inclinations, wants, and selfish desires, to embrace the cross of the present moment rather than the burdens our self-will would prefer. The monk must finally be solicitous for indignities. How should we understand such a difficult phrase? St. Francis de Sales teaches us that by true Christian humility, we not only admit that we are sinful and weak, but that we have come to love our very lowliness and to embrace our humiliations as the treasured path by which God the Son himself walked in order to work and win our eternal redemption. It does not mean that we do not fight sin, nor that we never work to heal imperfections of body and spirit, but it does mean that we embrace the sufferings and even the humiliations that our Lord lovingly places upon our path so that we might be more and more configured to the image of his divine Son. For indeed, the holiness of the rule of Saint Benedict, the source of all holiness, is none other than to form a monk into the image and likeness of God the Son made man. From the first moments of his holy humanity in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, through the blood-stained wood of Gethsemane, the ruddy rock of the pillar watered by his precious blood, to the final gaze at the heavens as he pronounced, "All is accomplished," Jesus Christ's spiritual gaze never left his Father. In all things, at all times, he sought to do the Father's will. He would have no happiness and peace save in the loving embrace of God the Father. Why are we here? At every moment of our lives, may that question be answered alone by the God of our hearts. We work for him. We breathe, live, and love for him alone. Do not ask of a creature a peace and a satisfaction that it cannot give to you. As St. Augustine said, and as St. Benedict lived, our heart is made for God alone. In him alone will it find rest. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.